Welcome back into the Student Section Podcast. It's all college football all the time. Hope you guys enjoy the episode today. Hey guys, welcome back into another edition of the Student Section Podcast. Here with my partner Steven as usual. Sorry we haven't put anything out there on the podcast front as of late. But we're gonna get it going today again. I know it's been a while, so just bear with us. I've been busy here lately, mainly with some travel and stuff like that. So to get it right into it, we're going to talk about the college football playoff because that's obviously the biggest thing. I'm just going to run through the rankings really quick. That way we can get into the actual content. So number one, we got LSU. Number two, we got Ohio State. Number three, we got Clemson. Number four, we got Georgia. Those are your top four. And then the rest go 5, Alabama, 6, Oregon, 7, Utah, 8, Minnesota, 9, Penn State, 10, Oklahoma. And number 11, we got Florida. 12, we got Auburn. 13, the Baylor Bears. 14, Wisconsin. 15, Michigan. 16, we got Notre Dame. 17, we have Cincinnati. 18, we have Memphis. 19, we have Texas. And at 20, we have Iowa to round out the top 20. At 21, we have Boise State. 22 is Oklahoma State. 23 is Navy. 24 is Kansas State, and 25 is Appalachian State. So what do you think about that?
I think top three easily right, and then after that, I think it gets kind of controversial. I don't think it makes sense to put Georgia over Alabama, but I mean, I guess I can see why since Alabama just lost, but I think – with their loss to now number one LSU and a 5-point loss, I'd probably put Alabama at 4. And if not Alabama at 4, I'd probably put Oregon at 4. But I don't think I'd put Georgia at 4. I think Georgia at best would be 5 for me. But Minnesota took a huge jump after they beat Penn State, went up 9 spots. Now they're ranked number 8, right inside the top 10. I saw some people saying they should be ranked 4, and I thought that was just kind of ridiculous. I mean, they're undefeated, had a great win, but to move from, 17 up to number 4, it's kind of crazy to think about. But, I mean, it'll sort itself out, so I'm not too concerned about it. But, yeah, that's probably my thoughts. I'd probably put Alabama at 4, and then either Georgia, Oregon at 5, and another one at 6.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with anything that they did. Maybe change this 4 spot up a little bit. But I think there's probably 3 teams that deserve it, either Georgia, Alabama, or Oregon. I don't really have a problem with any of those 3. I think Alabama's probably the best out of those teams, but coming off a loss, maybe that's just what the committee decided to do. I would have liked to see Minnesota maybe 1 spot higher, maybe over Utah. I don't know. I think Utah hasn't been playing as well as of late. They'd probably have some better, their resume is probably better, but Minnesota's undefeated, so, but that's not, I mean, it'll come down to Minnesota's, you know, game against Ohio State, really, or this weekend against Iowa. But other than that, I don't really have anything.
You mean in the championship?
Yeah, I mean, the only way Minnesota's going to get in is probably if they go undefeated, or if I don't know how other teams are gonna, you know, what's gonna happen on that, but because there could be a lot of shakeup. But that's just my thoughts. I don't really have a problem with it. At 4, I probably would put Alabama just because they're coming off a loss to the number one team in the nation. But I could see any of those 3 really deserving it. But the main thing for me is what will happen. Assuming both Georgia and LSU get to the SEC championship, which it would be crazy if they didn't. I don't really see any way that doesn't happen. Is if Georgia were to beat LSU, then what would happen there? I don't think the committee would leave out LSU, and you certainly can't leave out Georgia being a one-loss team with the SEC championship. So I think Alabama needs to hope that LSU really goes undefeated.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Alabama's – so, I mean, I was talking about this to other people. Alabama's hopes, I think their best chance of making the playoff is LSU. Obviously needs to go undefeated, 13-0. Clemson is going to get in 13-0. And then Ohio State could lose, but honestly, I think that would actually cause more problems if Ohio State was had one loss, and then maybe if Ohio State went 12-1 and won the Big Ten, they're obviously still in. But if they went 11-1 and don't make the Big Ten championship, and then you have a different Big Ten team win the Big Ten championship, and then you're looking at that four spot down to Ohio State or Alabama, or then maybe someone else like Pac-12. But if that happens, then I think that actually hurts Alabama, because then you have the debate over Ohio State and Alabama. So I think, honestly, the best chance is for LSU, Ohio State, Clemson all just to go 13-0, and they're all three in. And then it comes down to me. And then the one other thing that needs to happen is that Baylor needs to beat Oklahoma. So Oklahoma's two losses now. They're out. So Baylor's undefeated. And then they rematch in the Big 12 championship, and then Oklahoma gets revenge. So Oklahoma's still out because they have two losses, but Baylor just lost in the championship, so they're out. And then I think that brings it down to Alabama, Oregon, or Utah. I mean, if it's Oregon, I think that's the better shot for Alabama, honestly, even though I think Oregon's a better team than Utah. But I think if Oregon goes 12-1 and wins the Pac-12, I think Alabama, assuming Alabama goes 11-1, gets the nod over them, because Alabama will have beaten they'll have beaten Auburn, and Oregon will have lost to Auburn. So I think you'll have that common game, and then Auburn will get in as the fourth spot over Oregon, is what I'm thinking. But
I mean, Alabama will get in.
Alabama will get in over Oregon, because Alabama will have beaten Auburn, and Oregon will have lost to Auburn. That's what I'm thinking. But I think that's their best shot, but obviously they'll need some help because they do not control their own destiny.
I think as long as assuming these other teams take care of business, everything will work itself out for Alabama. Assuming LSU wins out, Ohio State wins out, Clemson wins out. With saying that, that would mean that if LSU wins out, they would ultimately beat Georgia. And then it just comes down to, like you said, Alabama and some of these other one-loss teams, like Oregon or Utah. So to look past the college football playoff, I want to get into a bit of what the Heisman race and what LSU has done this year. I think Coach Ogeron and the LSU offense is totally revamped. I honestly feel like that it could really change college football for, you know, many years to come. And you might see a lot of teams start doing this, not like shying away from defense, but just different, like offenses that are going to be of the future, spreading it out, throwing the ball more, stuff like that. So it just depends, you know, especially in the SEC where defense is a huge thing. I mean, we've seen huge offenses across the country in the Big 12, you know, for the past 10 years or whatever, but LSU used to be a primarily smash-mouth football team who would run the ball a lot and win with their defense. Now this year you look at it and they're putting up 46 points on Alabama. So I think a lot is going to change over the next couple years in college football, especially in the SEC.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry for that noise in the background. My dog was making noise. But no, I completely agree. And you've already seen Alabama do that. Alabama changed their offense. It basically started with Lane Kiffin, if you think about it, few years ago now. And I think LSU is never going to beat Alabama if LSU did not change their offense just like Alabama did. Because even though Alabama's defense has clearly gotten worse over the years, LSU just never had the offense to put up the points to win. And so now they might have been putting up more points because Alabama's defense was worse, but Alabama would always score more because Alabama's offense improved. And so now when LSU finally got that offense, you know, they could go in and win. But yeah, talking about the Heisman race, Joe Burrow's got it locked. I mean, if he doesn't do anything dumb, I mean, if he doesn't get hurt, or if he just doesn't start sucking, I mean, there's no way he's going to lose it, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think there's really any other contenders at the moment. But like last year, we thought Tua had it, and then
But obviously, he got hurt. He kind of got hurt a little bit. And Kyler Murray surged. But I think Joe Burrow, just the season he's had, and just breaking out, honestly, I think the offense really didn't change his game, but showed what he could really do. And you saw in the Alabama game, he's more just a pocket passer. He's not a scrambler, but they call many design runs and like play action passes that and RPOs that are able to get him out of the pocket and into space, where it opens up more time for him to throw the ball downfield rather than just sitting in the pocket. Sometimes he'll get out in space and be able to throw on the run or throw downfield while running or even throwing across his body just because he's that good or whatever it is. I just think the new offense and Ed Orgeron bringing someone in that is able to unleash and cater to what Joe Burrow is good at is really going to help them. And that's the reason why they're the number one team in the nation.
Yeah, and we posted about it, but a ton of that credit has to go to Joe Brady. I think he was originally at Penn State, and then he went to the Saints for a couple years, and then they hired him at LSU to be the passing coordinator and the wide receivers coach. And I saw they were working out a contract extension, so wouldn't be surprised if he's their offensive coordinator here in next few years or so. But I mean, he's completely changed their offense. They're arguably the best offense in the nation now. And you see some of the play calls and their design plays they have. And we were watching the Bama LSU game, and there in the second half, Joe Burrow probably had two or three quarterback draws close together. And so, that's keeping Alabama on their heels. He's running the ball all of a sudden after been throwing a ton. And then a couple possessions later, it's a clearly designed a play like this. He starts running up the middle, like kind of tiptoeing, like he's about to run up the middle, like a draw. And then he throws it over the middle on the run to someone. I don't remember which receiver it was, but someone cutting across the middle. And just looking at it was like, that's such a smart, after you set them up, think it's going to be a quarterback draw this whole time, and then he threw it on the run like that. It was like a 20-yard gain. So just some of the design run or play calls have been awesome from Joe Brady. So yeah, just a ton of the offensive credit should go to Joe Brady. I mean, obviously Joe Burrow and the offense themselves deserves credit, but Joe Brady has completely revamped that offense. So there's some big games this weekend that we're going to talk about real quick. Some games that have playoff implications this weekend, so it should be a fun weekend. And then we'll talk about one more thing after that and wrap it up. But this weekend we got Georgia at number 4, Georgia at number 12, Auburn. So originally I was, I think Georgia's the better team, but I don't know. I just feel like this is a game that Auburn could get up for. Top 4 team. It's at Auburn. Auburn has a good defense. I think I'm actually going to go with Auburn in this one.
I got Georgia just because their defense is so good, and combined with the fact that Auburn's offense is not very great, and their Bo Nix hasn't been doing well this season. So I'm just going to go with Georgia. They haven't given up a rushing touchdown all year, and I don't see Georgia. That's Auburn's game, is running the ball, because they're just not a great passing team. You look at Bo Nix's stats versus ranked teams, it's not very good. So the next ranked matchup would be Minnesota at Iowa, actually. That could be not a trap game, because it's a ranked matchup, but I guess considering that Minnesota is a top 10 team, it could be a trap game for them. Going into Iowa, always a tough place to get a win. Iowa's 6-3 this year, not playing their best football, but still a team that is going to give you troubles, especially if they're in their home stadium. I still like Minnesota in that game, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Iowa pull it out.
Yeah, Iowa, I think, is actually probably them and Texas I would consider to be the best 3-loss teams. you look at Iowa's losses, they're all to ranked teams, Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin. And they were all close games too, all decided by one score. So I'm tempted to go with Iowa in this one too. But I think Minnesota will pull it out. I think they got a ton of momentum right now. They're, you know, after beating Penn State, they're super high up there right now. So I'll probably go with Minnesota. Then the next one, another very big game. We got number 10 Oklahoma at number 13 Baylor. So this is Baylor's trying to stay undefeated. Oklahoma has one loss, trying to avoid getting eliminated from the playoff. I think Oklahoma's the better team, and I think they're going to go, and, you know, I think they're going to win, honestly.
I think Oklahoma's going to win this game, too. Oklahoma hasn't been playing good the past couple weeks. They almost got upset this past weekend by Iowa State, and then they lost to Kansas State, hung like 40-something on them. But I still think Oklahoma is the better team. I think Baylor, not that they're overrated, they don't really have that many good wins, really. I mean, they beat Texas, right? They beat Texas. I think that's like their best win. They played West Virginia a couple weeks ago and they barely won.
They haven't played Texas.
Oh no, they haven't played Texas. So they really don't have a great win. They did beat Oklahoma State by like two scores. They only beat West Virginia by a field goal. Beat TCU's quality opponent, but other than that, they don't have a ranked win. So I'll go with Oklahoma just on. I mean, the fact of just I think they're a better, stronger team.
Yeah. I agree with that. And then this last game, it doesn't have playoff implications really, but I do think it's interesting. Number 16, Notre Dame versus number 23, Navy. Navy just jumped into the rankings. They're, 7-1? Yeah, so I think that's kind of interesting. I think Notre Dame will pull it out, but, you know, it's hard not to root for Navy in this game.
Yeah, I think this will be a really close game, but since it's at Notre Dame, I think that Notre Dame will win this game. Huge atmosphere and crowd there, and I don't know if Navy's up for that challenge just because of, you know, the opponents that they play. I think that could rattle them a little bit, but, you know, with Navy and their offense, it is definitely going to give anyone trouble, especially a team like Notre Dame. If Notre Dame were to lose this game and they were have three losses, and, you know, maybe if they lose another one, I could see a lot of Notre Dame fans getting upset. I've already seen a lot of fans saying that they wish like Brian Kelly would leave to like take another job or something. Not necessarily that they would fire him, because I don't know like if they would have the funds to like fire him. But like a lot of Notre Dame fans just aren't really pleased with the job he's doing. So those are all the ranked matchups this weekend. Sorry. But the next thing I wanted to talk about, speaking of firing coaches, is the two recent programs who just fired their coaches. FSU fired Willie Taggart, and Arkansas this past Sunday fired Chad Morris. Chad Morris was 4-18 in his tenure at Arkansas. I think Willie Taggart was like 9-12, 9-11, something like that. Not very good. But anyways, the thing that I want to talk about here is I want to bring up a couple candidates that I think would do well and that the program should look at. But I posted about it, obviously some people were going to say that it was the wrong choice, but for both programs, it's clearly the right choice, because for one, both programs, the teams weren't trying hard at all. And there was no progression. If you look at other teams around the nation who are maybe like struggling or whatever, or have young like head coaches that have been hired in the past 3 years, I think you see a lot of them that are actually progressing. I don't know one specifically off the top of my head, but I mean, Florida State just wasn't getting better, and Arkansas is getting worse, like, terribly. I mean, you get clapped by Western Kentucky. I mean, a team who has a first-year head coach who, I mean, it's Western Kentucky. You shouldn't be, as an SEC school, you should be beating them by a couple score. If not, I mean, at halftime, it's like 35-7. That's just ridiculous. So, and the problem with, I think the problem with both of the, or not both of these schools, but mainly Arkansas, I mean, everything was bad, but they the past 2 years, Chad Morris has went through like 7 quarterbacks, and that's just not a recipe for success. You know, throughout the middle of the season, they had some close games. They were beating Texas A&M for like in the fourth quarter in that game. I think they were also leading Kentucky. But you don't pay a school $1.5 million in Western Kentucky and then get beat, but you get blown out. So that's how I feel about it.
No, I completely agree. And if you look at Chad Morris's his previous track record when he was at where was he? Oh, yeah, SMU. I was about to say SMU, and then I was like, wait, was I wrong? But he's at SMU. I think his best win, his best year was like 7 wins.
Yeah.
And so if you look, he was improving every year. I'm pulling it up right here. Yeah, he went 2-10 first year, then 5-7, then 7-6. So yeah, you're like, yeah, big turnaround. He went 2-10 his first year, and then 2 years later, he's making a bowl game. So obviously, that's extremely impressive. And he's actually 7-5 in the regular season and lost the bowl game. So, I mean, he could have had an 8-win season. But to me, I just feel like that's too short of a period to go ahead and say, yeah, let's hire this this non-Power 5 coach and then bring him to an SEC school. I just – maybe if it was like 2-10 to 10-2, but when your best season is 7-6 and you've only been at this school, which is in this case is SMU, for 3 years, I just don't think that makes too much sense to me in my case. And then obviously, like, it didn't work out. I mean, and some people are saying kind of the same argument in that he only got a year, you know, a year and a half or a year and 3 quarters, basically, at Arkansas. So how is that really fair to him? And I kind of agree with that. Like, I mean, I don't think you can really turn around a program that quickly, especially one. Arkansas has been, you know, not that great for a while now, and they're in the SEC, so that doesn't help at all. But I mean, like you said, you can't lose to Western Kentucky at home, and it wasn't even close. I mean, you got smacked, and I mean, it's just embarrassing. And then before that, you lost to Mississippi State by you gave up 54 to Mississippi State. Mississippi State's offense is one of the worst in the SEC, and it was another home game. You lost by 30. And then the previous two games, obviously, you played Alabama, Auburn, so those aren't going to be close, but you know. After you come off huge blowouts, you get blown out by Auburn and get blown out by Alabama. Then you come play Mississippi State and Western Kentucky at home, and you just suck, honestly. I understand the firing. I mean, there's really no excuse for it. And so, I mean, I just feel like the program wasn't really behind Chad Morris. You know, once he had 4 total wins in 2 years, and he wasn't going to get another win the rest of the year. So he was literally going to have 4 wins in 2 full years. So, I understand it. Willie Taggart, he's kind of honestly they're kind of similar because Willie Taggart's track record wasn't even that good either. And you look at as soon as he got fired, they win on the road at Boston College, who's a decent team, got a really good run game, and they win 38-31 in a close game. And so it's already I just feel like he got fired and the players were just you know they were. Who is their interim? I don't remember. I just looked at it a second ago. And I can't. But I just feel like maybe not necessarily excited to play for him, but just excited not to play for Willie Taggart. I don't know. I just feel like, once again, the program wasn't really behind Willie Taggart. And maybe part of that's kind of like from the media and from the fans. When you have so much hate coming your way, then the program just hops onto that hate and doesn't really try to support you. They're just like, oh, yeah, it's your fault, you know, and then blame the coach. But I do think it was the right choice in both scenarios.
Yeah. It started off the beginning of the season for really FSU. They lost to, they're up huge against Boise State in the opener. And then you had to go to overtime versus L.A. Monroe. But for both of these schools, I think for FSU, I know they're going to have probably a lot more money than Arkansas. Even though Willie Taggart had a huge buyout just because they're a bigger program than Arkansas. And through Jimbo Fisher leaving, they saved a lot of money there. I know Florida State early on, Bob Stoops was mentioned recently. I know Deion Sanders was mentioned. I haven't heard anything in like 3 days. But I think for them, any of those three would really be good. I think Bob Stoops would definitely be the best. And then, honestly, I'd probably go with, I'd probably go with Deion Sanders second just because he'd be able to recruit anybody in the country and get him on that team. He'd have all the talent in the world. Although Mark Stoops is way more proven than him, obviously, and he's a very good coach. I mean, he's had two great, not great seasons, but he had a great season last year, and he'll make it to a bowl game this year again with not as good talent in Lexington. But I don't think money's going to be an issue there. But on the other hand, with Arkansas, they've had just a couple abysmal seasons. Paul Feinbaum was actually talking about it today, and he said that one candidate to watch. And I think before hiring Chad Morris, this name came up. He was talking about Gus Malzahn because Gus Malzahn doesn't feel wanted at Auburn, and a lot of fans just don't want him, and especially boosters, like, they just don't really care for him and they just want him gone. And so he thinks that if Arkansas were to want Gus Malzahn, then he would definitely heavily consider it, just because he could go somewhere where if he wins 8 or 9 games, then Arkansas fans are probably going to really appreciate that. So I think that would be one candidate that would be really good for them. If not Gus Malzahn, then maybe someone who would take the job who, like, maybe has never had a shot in the SEC or wants to get back in the SEC, like maybe Mike Leach or Les Miles. So I think I don't think any of those candidates, especially Mike Leach and Les Miles, it wouldn't take too much money. Now, Gus Malzahn's buyout would be huge, so they would have, I don't know about that, but I definitely see Gus Malzahn looking for a way to get out of Auburn if they finish with like 8 wins or something. So that's just my thoughts on it. We're probably going to wrap this up here. I want to thank all you guys for listening back in. Sorry, we've been a little bit inactive. We're going to try to get this going again. Maybe get some few guests in here. I want to thank you guys again.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Student Section Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. And as always, tune in next week for another weekly episode.